Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Paul Rauschenbusch. The panelists responded to questions submitted at the Interfaith Alliance Capitol Hill briefing, Christian Nationalism is on the Ballot in 2022.
The first one is, what is the role of faith leaders in addressing Christian nationalism? What is the theology that undergirds and strengthens Christian nationalism? Is Christian nationalism a partisan issue, or is it democracy at stake? How can we get more Americans to recommit to fighting Christian nationalisms and the separation of church and state? And here's the question of what's Donald Trump's relationship to all of this? Does anybody feel called to address Donald Trump by name? That is up to our panelists. But why don't we just go back down the line? And we have about 10 minutes now, so if we can see what sparks you. But I am very eager to hear what each of you thinks that is the most pressing thing and the most effective thing we can do to counteract Christian nationalism, as well as these excellent questions. Taylor, it looks like you're ready. Go.
Sure, I will start. Two points, to the question about the theology that undergirds Christian nationalism. I think that's such a good question, because for me, I actually bristle a bit every time I hear the word Christian nationalism or nationalism next to Christian, because when I look at the folks who are leading this movement, I don't see any Christianity. I grew up Southern Baptist in an evangelical household, and to me, they don't represent my faith. I don't concede that label to them at all. What I do see is the very same racism that we've always had. And I think that, as far as the theology that undergirds it, if racism can be considered a theology, that's what I would say that it is. I have family that, we went to church every Sunday, some Wednesdays, some Saturdays growing up. And, none of them were at the Capitol on January 6th. They vote for Republicans. They're very conservative. We don't agree on choice. So I think we have to be very clear about what actually that is and, meeting people where they are when we talk about it. And as for what, we can all do, is another sort of nod to my evangelical upbringing on Saturdays. When I was little, we would, our church would spend the day what we would call witnessing. We would go door to door and, invite people in our community to our church and, see how they were doing and, invite them to really join and help build community with us. And as crazy as it was, especially for me, like an 8-year-old who wanted to be watching cartoons on a Sunday morning, what was really effective, whether folks were Christian or not or interested or not, to see members of their community so moved to show up on their doorstep 9 a.m. on a Saturday, gave them sort of a pause and say, well, whatever is so important to push them to come and talk to me on, their day off. I want to see a little bit about what that is. And, I can't remember a single Saturday where we would all end up back at church and not a single new person had joined or wanted to learn more about us. And so I think, as I'm out on the road, in the van registering voters, I see some of that same sentiment. And I think that we have to bring that same energy to going door to door in our own communities and showing with our actions how big the stakes are. Because I think if we're willing to show up, and talk to folks about this at times when it's not always convenient for us, more than any argument that we could have with anyone to try to convince them to see our way of thinking, our actions that brought us to their doorstep at a time where we could all be sitting at home watching TV, I think goes a much further way in convincing people to sort of come online to our viewpoints and recognize the stakes that this threat brings to all of our community.
Thank you. Connie, you had your hand.
If you believe in our democracy and if you believe that Christian nationalism is doing damage to our democracy, then you cannot sit on the sidelines. We need you to act. We need you to be part of the solution. We need you to use your voice. We need you to empower others also to educate them on the issues and the impact that Christian nationalism is having at the national level and also at the state and local level. We need you to stand up for public schools. We need you to stand up for civil rights. Do work on racial justice and protecting public schools and reproductive freedom and rights for the LGBTQ community. We need you to be in the game. And so part of that is joining organizations like Interfaith Alliance, right? Joining Americans United, joining the ACLU, whatever that is in your community, whoever is doing the work and is building the power amongst folks who believe in our democracy and that Christian nationalism is doing harm, join that organization and do the work with them, provide them financial support, all of those pieces. But we have to do this work together, and we cannot do it in silos. And so a lot of times in the progressive movements, we end up being in silos, doing this and doing that. It is very much integrated work, and that we have to do this work together. So if you care about racial justice, you should also care about LGBTQ rights. You should also care about public education. You should be doing all of those pieces together. And at the end of the day, you should be making sure that people understand that their vote matters, and you should be helping people to vote. And that is the work that we have to do for not only for the midterms, but we're not fixing this by 2022, right? And so we have to do this work together continuously over the next however many years it takes until we take back our nation from Christian nationalists.
Thank you so much, Walter.
I'm going to answer every question in less than 90 seconds. What's the role of faith leaders? You have to have skin in the game. You have to step up. You have to speak out. You have to be willing to take some arrows. That's it. You can't be a spectator anymore. If you don't speak out, you can't expect us to speak out for you, to your congregants, to your community. Message and messengers matter. And specifically, I'm looking at white folks and white Christians. You have to speak up at your churches. You have to speak up in your community centers. You have to speak up at home. And you have to tolerate the discomfort, the short-term discomfort, to create the long-term change. That's the truth. That's the blunt reality. There's only so much the rest of us can do. Theology. It's white supremacy. White supremacy and Christian nationalism are like this, intertwined. It's a theology, a paradigm, an infrastructure of hate and superiority that says America belongs to only one group, and the rest of us, at best, are guests with conditions. Partisan or democracy at stake. It's our democracy is at stake. They want power by any means necessary. They believe that God himself has given them a celestial stamp of approval to use any means necessary to purify this nation, this special nation, and they alone are the stewards of this land. They don't care about democracy. They don't care about separation of church and state. They don't care about the rule of law. They care about power. And they believe that they are the good guys, the heroes of the story, and the victims. They're not the villains, ladies and gentlemen. Stories matter. They believe that they are the heroes and the victims, and we are the villains for trying to desecrate this holy land with our secular beliefs of separation of church and state, you know, women's rights, marriage equality. So this is literally democracy at stake, but thanks to, unfortunately, a lens of both sides, it has become a partisan issue. It is not. How to get more Americans to reconnect? Believe it or not, if you tell Americans about the threat, if you educate them, if you put it in the media, if you talk about it at school, they're informed and they care. I'll give you one quick example. Americans won't care about the impeachment. Americans won't care about January 6th. Let's just bum rush through these hearings. They did the hearings. As a result of these excellent hearings that were done sometimes in prime time and also during the day and the media coverage, guess what? More awareness. And now, according to the polls, one of the leading issues leading up to the midterms is defense of democracy. Another issue is, wait for it, abortion rights. Who would have thought? Kitchen table issues. What's Trump's role? He is seen as Cyrus. He is seen as the pagan king whom nonetheless God has chosen at this moment to do God's work. He is flawed, that's okay, but he is our vehicle and our Trojan horse. This is how they think about him. After Trump leaves, it'll be DeSantis. Marjorie Taylor Greene. So if you sit there and say, but it's hypocritical, they don't care. Who is the most powerful messenger and vehicle for them to achieve their goals? That's what Trump is right now. And people say, when Trump is gone, this threat is gone. Nope. Trumpism is here to stay. It will just create a new avatar. That avatar right now is DeSantis, Abbott, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. What we need, I'll end on this, is what Connie was saying, and just to connect the dots, a multicultural coalition of the willing, this interfaith alliance. I call it the ethnic Avengers, standing up to Thanos, which is white supremacy. There's no other way to do it, ladies and gentlemen. There's no other way to do it. And people say, well, we have the numbers, sure, but give me a radicalized, zealous minority that wakes up every day with purpose compared to a flabby, moderate majority, and that radicalized minority will cut through us like butter. And when we have come together at a local level, we have pushed back on school boards. They were dominating on school boards until we pushed back. They're telling you their strategy. We're going to take over school board by school board, medical board by medical board, the precinct strategy, poll watchers, church by church. It is a local, national, international strategy at play. When we have the numbers and we consolidate and we get together, go local by local, we win. Voting rights, poll watchers, precincts, school boards. I need the churches to now step up. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Rich, I'd love to hear from you as well.
I agree with all that. Thank you. Excellent. I agree with every part of it. I would add some insights, at least regards to the evangelicals. I don't think they're being persuaded by being threatened. I don't see them as responding. Most won't say they are, but psychologists say that it takes 7 years sometimes for people to make that shift intellectually, that meta-think, that metacognition, and many of them are changing. And they're changing because, let's sadly say, because pastors are looking into the pews and they're saying, the Great Awakening? No. This is called the Great Abdication, especially among young. And when pastors see that departure, then their influence. And so we have to bring the truth to them. I am sort of a mind that our approach is working. We tried it, quite frankly, 4 years ago, at least in the last presidential election, and aimed at Trump voters who were open to hearing another point of view. And we persuaded them to move over based upon an approach that was a bit of a soft sell at first, but it was designed not to inflame. And so I say, if we claim the right to influence, we have to accept the responsibility not to inflame, but to educate and move people to see what we're talking about. And like was said, we have to vote. And these evangelicals who were Trump voters voted for Biden. And they made the shift because they understood, among other things, that it was a contradiction of their faith to do what Donald Trump asked. And so, yes, right now groups like QAnon are gaining strength with the help of Donald Trump, and they preach violence. And let's be clear, all of us agree, that is an offense, and it's an offense against God, and we have to speak out against it. Vote and do so at every level, top to bottom, and throw the rascals out.
So friends, I think that this has been remarkable. It has been, I just want to thank this panel again for their wisdom, their passion, what they are doing on the ground. We feel more hope because we've heard from you, but also it's been a theme that together, this is something we have to do together. And so I am looking forward to all of the friends that I see around this room and everyone on the live stream to really think about ways that we can cooperate with one another and find ways that we can lift up a vision of America that invites people of all faith and no faith to come together to be respected. This should, what I hope, and I think you have heard, is that there's a desire for Christians to be Christians, as we have a desire for Jews to be Jews and people who have no faith to be exactly who they are and be guided by their own morality. So this is not meant to point fingers. It's meant to be an invitation. extending of the hand to everyone across our country to achieve our country, as Baldwin has said. So thank you all for being here.
You can find more information on the materials mentioned and the partnerships raised up during this Capitol Hill briefing, Christian Nationalism is on the Ballot in 2022. And watch the video of the entire event at interfaithalliance.org. Our briefing in Washington was bracing as well as inspiring. We see the challenge ahead, but we also see so many people working with vigor and intelligence to counteract Christian nationalism in every area of our society. Over the next weeks, you'll be hearing more about Christian nationalism on this show, and I urge you to come back and tune in, and also tune in to this election cycle. It is extremely important that we all get out there and vote. Vote our values, vote our freedom, and vote for a country in which all religious traditions, as well as those who adhere to no religious tradition, are equally valued and are treated equally under the law. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we've got for this week's show. Your financial support helps to keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Never miss an episode by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And join the conversation. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at State of Belief and share State of Belief with the people in your life. State of Belief is produced by Ray Kirstein and is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, as founding host of State of Belief, Welton Gaddy would say, you all take care of each other. And as Rabbi Jack Moline would say, go team. I'm Paul Rauschenbusch, and that's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.